Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. With check volumes decreasing 7-8% annually, according to the Fed's 2021 survey, the time has come for financial institutions to embrace outsourced item processing to reduce costs and drive greater efficiencies. What's more, managing a single vendor relationship far outweighs multiple vendors for item processing, which tends to be cumbersome and often less effective. By streamlining systems, financial institutions can improve services, control costs, keep up with new processing technology, and keep up with cyber risk, reduce pandemic-related risks, and comply with financial regulations to help prevent fraud. With me today, we have Joe Pachunka, CIO for Deposit Solutions at Fiserv. He's joined by Mercator Advisor Group's own Director of Debit and Alternative Payments Analyst, Sarah Grotta. And together, they explore opportunities that financial institutions have today to reduce back office expenses and grow efficiencies through outsourcing. Without further ado, let's take it to the show. So Joe, let's start by setting the stage on what's happening in the industry and around outsourcing financial institutions' item processing systems. Want to kick it off with an overview?
Well, sure. First off, I think everyone knows outsourcing has been around for years. And today, it's become more of an important topic when you consider a post-pandemic world. Financial institutions are understanding how outsourcing functions can positively impact their business and reduce their risk. Many institutions today are having trouble finding and retaining qualified technology and item processing resources. So that's driving a lot of these decisions. Recent U.S. outsourcing statistics indicate that outsourced financial services will rise by 7.5% annually. I recently read that the global financial services outsourcing market is estimated to be worth over $130 billion in the U.S. alone in 2021. So, you know, if you think about it, by outsourcing item processing, it enables the financial institution to focus on their core business. I think it really helps them improve their cybersecurity stance in most cases. I think they can reduce their system resiliency risk. They can avoid future pandemic risk situations. And I think in addition to all of that, they're going to notice that they get new application features on a more regular basis. So we are really seeing where there's a trend where in-house hosted system applications are more likely to be outsourced, and they're finding that they rarely can update their systems even once a year. And in some cases, we're seeing where they're only updating their systems every 3 years on average. So, you know, when you take that into account, we're living in this rapidly evolving cyber risk environment, and I believe rapid application deployment is going to be even more important, and it's key to addressing the ever-increasing risks that are around us.
Yeah, you know what I think is really interesting about the idea of outsourcing item processing is, you know, you don't maybe necessarily think of item processing as something that's really new and exciting, but actually I'm hearing with some of the financial institutions that I work with that they're thinking about outsourcing this aspect as their business sort of in the same breath that they're thinking about, you know, their digital modernization, because that's all sort of part and parcel of their ability to achieve, you know, general efficiencies in their business. And so maybe it's sometimes that they're not necessarily wanting to really focus on item processing. They're happy to have somebody else sort of oversee that aspect of their business. And that allows them to create some efficiencies and maybe invest in some other areas, you know, to help them to keep pace with the industry and to remain competitive. Are you hearing some of those same things?
Well, we are. You know, check processing, although it can be perceived as a legacy business, it's still a very valid channel of transactions. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming more important that that channel be up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so in some cases, the volumes may be declining. It's still an important part of your offering to your depositors. And they expect it to be there every time.
Exactly. It's got to work every time, all day long. Absolutely.
Sarah makes a great point there about how item processing fits into a broader theme of digital modernization for banks. Joe, do you want to talk a little bit about how outsourcing item processing benefits banks, whether it's specifically or broadly?
So I've touched on this, and I'm going to be a little bit redundant here, but I think it helps drive the points home. Let's start with retaining enough talent and expertise to meet their in-house needs. You know, the challenges are real in this area, not only in the financial space. Every employer out there is having this problem, right? Finding enough talent to serve their business. One thing outsource providers can do, they can afford to maintain economies of scale. They can keep bench strength to have specialized teams to support customers. And we talked about, you know, that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week now. There are areas within our organization, we have 10 people with the same skill set. And when you're an in-house provider trying to do it on your own, you're lucky if you have two. In many cases, you have one person that knows that particular skill. So that becomes increasingly important as you encounter turnover and as it gets more challenging out there to hire the staff that you need. And we think that'll get more challenging over time. And then the other thing you need to add in there is that a lot of people that really understand item processing are starting to retire. So now you have to retain qualified technical resources as well as people with item processing knowledge, and that's getting increasingly difficult to do. And then you add in, you know, they want that there every day, whenever they want it, when they want to make their deposits. Maintaining a highly available system or systems is very important, and they need to be in highly available data centers to do that properly. And having enough scale to invest in that technology to keep pace with the changing technology landscape is more important than ever. So, you know, by outsourcing, institutions can focus more on their core business. They'll likely improve their cybersecurity stance. They'll reduce some future pandemic risk, and I think that's near and dear to everyone's heart. And, you know, they're going to see those application features on a more regular basis. I mentioned earlier, we are seeing where in-house hosted system applications are less frequently updated. You know, at Fiserv, we are updating our application software 3 to 4 times per year, and we are actually making plans to upgrade key application modules on a more regular basis. And our goal is to improve our agility every year and get changes into production even more rapidly. And another reason that's important is we're in this cyber risk environment. So at the same time you're putting in any type of cyber risk improvements, you're also putting in new features. And, you know, if you don't address the cyber risk concerns, I think there have been enough examples out there in the media on how bad a breach can hurt your brand, your reputation, and it can do real damage to your depositors and your account holders. I think the other thing to consider is, I think everyone knows this, if they're hosting it in-house, is really to do it properly, you need to be upgrading your hardware at a minimum every 5 years. And at Fiserv, we guarantee whatever we put into production, we're going to put corresponding equipment in our DR location. And we make sure that our DR location is a replica of production and that all components are vendor supported. You know, we have production and DR sites that are both highly resilient data centers, and most FIs trying to do it on their own just simply can't afford the type of technology we have. The big benefit we have, of course, is we can spread that expensive technology over a larger client base, making it available to everyone. And add in that we test the applications annually. All clients have an option to test, and we do it during regular work hours during the week. So we're not asking people to spend their weekends doing DR testing. Then another trend we're seeing is leveraging our National Image Archive. A lot of FIs are finding that they do not want to support their 7-year image archive. That's burdensome, and they need to upgrade their hardware and maintain those large archives. They're getting away from that in many cases. So let's face it, if we think about it, with checks decreasing annually, our volumes are actually increasing because more clients are choosing to outsource. And if your volumes decline and you're in an outsource model, you will see your variable costs go down over time. And if you choose to acquire and grow, outsource providers can handle that too. You can worry more about the acquisition and less about scaling your systems to handle the acquisition.
Yeah, you know, Joe, thinking about your comments about talent management, and certainly something I hear in the industry as well, you know, financial institutions in particular, I think are having difficulty attracting talent and managing talent. So, you know, the opportunity to outsource certain activities to alleviate some of that burden seems to make a lot of sense. And then, you know, it also helps because now you can have the talent that in fact you do have focused on, I would call it, more interesting rather than just just simply, you know, repetitive activities and get them a little bit into some jobs that are a little bit more interesting, I would say, that helps retention. But, you know, another thing that crosses my mind, though, is that you're going to need some resources in order to, you know, convert from an in-house system to an outsourced solution. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, what does that conversion look like? Does that require a lot of resources?
Well, we have teams of people that handle this type of activity every year. And I wouldn't say it's something we do. It's what we do every day. You know, we implement 100 clients plus per year onto our platforms. We have all the experts that have been doing this for, you know, 5, 10, 15, and even upwards of 30 years. So we handle a lot of that. We know all the questions to ask. The financial institution that's moving over to the outsource model will certainly be involved, but we step you through that process and make that as easy as it can be. And we've done it a lot. We do it every day, and we know how to get clients live with no impact to their client base.
Really interesting. Sarah and Joe, as you're well aware, I am not a payments analyst, though I've certainly absorbed a lot of podcasts. And just one thing I can say from a media perspective is we have never had so many conversations that involved the intersection of using technology and resources in order to retain talent. You know, within any given year, we've spent more time discussing that this year, certainly than ever before. So really interesting stuff. Joe, when I'm thinking about outsourcing item processing and, you know, and using that as a talent retention tool, I imagine that one of the at least fears or perceived fears is like a loss of control from financial institutions about, you know, about letting these processes get away from, you know, being in-house. So I'm just sort of curious if you'd like to speak to the perceived loss of control and how you guys discuss that.
So, you know, I think most financial institutions don't feel like they've lost much control after they convert. What I think they're giving up is a lot of the headaches that they have to deal with on a daily basis and perhaps even in the evenings and on weekends. One thing we don't do is we don't take over the bank's full back office. So keep in mind, they maintain that control. Optional services are, you know, do you want your provider to do data entry and balancing? Do you want to opt to do that work for yourselves? Do you want the teller to do it? Do you want to do it centralized? But you're maintaining a lot of the control or as much of that control as you want. For example, at Fiserv, one other thing we offer is we handle all your in-clearing data entry and balancing so that you don't have to have people up at 5 or 6 in the morning when those in-clearings are coming in. By the time you get to the office at 8, that work's already done. So, you know, really, when you outsource, you should have a window into the processing at all times without hosting the systems yourself. And you can continue to run your back office and maintain control where it's important.
Super interesting. Joe, you mentioned earlier about sort of the need to think about and plan for natural disasters. Certainly pandemic is still on the top of everyone's mind. How do outsource solutions reduce risk and increase readiness for some of these unpredictable disaster and pandemic situations?
So there's a number of ways we do that. So let's take on the natural disaster topic. Our production and DR sites are over 900 miles apart in the U.S., and they're both sitting in two highly available data centers. So we have very strong situation related to data center support. I don't have time to explain everything here, but I could spend 30 minutes explaining the makeup and considerations that went into the design of our data centers. When we talk about our databases are replicated to a local database in the primary data center as well as replicated to our DR location. So I think from a natural disaster situation, we have that covered very well. And we have been blessed. We haven't had many natural disasters where our data centers are, but I feel like we're ready should anything happen geographically. So that leads me to pandemic preparedness. And I think prior to COVID, I want to say, you know, everybody had pandemic plans. And I think most people felt they'd never need them. And I think as a result of COVID, I can say our pandemic preparedness has been exercised thoroughly and proven to be very effective. Not to say it wasn't challenging. You know, that was a big deal for everybody when you're talking about all the lockdowns that happened. First off, I'll say Deposit Solutions is very geographically dispersed. We have people all over the U.S. and all over the world for that matter. So when COVID hit, against some pretty challenging situations, we never missed a posting deadline for any client. During the first month, we put everybody at home, as many businesses did, and we rapidly made sure everybody had dual monitors in their home location. And one thing we learned, and it, you know, it doesn't take long when you're used to using two monitors in the office, that you want two monitors at home because you want to be equally efficient when you get used to using two monitors. So that's one example. So one thing we did in a very rapid manner is we made sure everybody had their monitors, docking station, and were equally effective at home as they were at the work location. So at some point when we started bringing people back into the office, they actually could go back and forth between home and work, and they had all the same equipment. And as a result, learning from that, every new employee gets the same equipment for the office location and their home location. And we actually require associates to work at least one day per week at home to make sure everything's ready to go, because at a moment's notice, we may be sending everybody home again. So we actually exercise this now, and I think we're more poised and ready than ever before, and we handled the first major pandemic quite well. So I think that speaks quite a bit about our abilities to handle these various situations.
That's really interesting to understand sort of the level of preparedness and, you know, your ability to work through scenarios like that. And I wonder to the extent and to what degree every financial institution really has the capability to layer in just as many fail safes as you have to deal with things like natural disasters and, you know, should we have another pandemic to the degree that we saw over the last couple of years. So, you know, that I think is, you know, would be something that outsourcing could alleviate off the shoulders of a financial institution.
So we covered a lot of ground here, you know, whether we're talking about how outsourcing item processing fits into the broader narrative of digital monetization for banks, outsourcing item processing and how it fits in with talent retention, focusing on helping banks focus on their core business ideas, hardware investments, fraud losses, natural disasters, pandemics. We covered a broad topography. Joe, I'm curious if you could maybe itemize some last thoughts to sort of bookend the conversation.
Sure. And, you know, I'll kind of go over some of the things we talked about. You know, I really believe outsourcing gives the FI the control they need while greatly reducing their risks. And we talked about those risks today. I know the recent and ongoing pandemic challenges have given many institutions a reason to explore other options. My advice would be, if you're going to consider outsourcing, make sure it is a provider that can deliver on the benefits you're looking for. And all providers, you need to know, are not created equal. There are a lot of smaller providers out there that may not have some of the benefits that the larger providers have. I would evaluate their data centers and take a tour of them if possible and ask them about their cyber programs. These are all very important decision-making points that you need to consider. Ask them how many people they have supporting their client base. You know, that's another important thing. We talked about when you don't have economies of scales, it can put you in a tough spot pretty quick. So I hope everyone listening that runs their item processing in-house will consider outsourcing with Fiserv. We would really like the opportunity to discuss options with you. I feel like we have the people that can guide you through the process. We have economies of scale to avoid many of the risks that smaller vendors may have. As a matter of fact, you know, as a trend, Fiserv's volumes are growing by 5 to 7% per year as a result of more financial institutions outsourcing their work to Fiserv. And I would say, because of the decline in checks, I would say most FIs that are running in-house have probably reached a point in time where the shift to outsource makes more sense than ever, and they may find it's a less costly option. And I'll finish up with saying, at Fiserv, we intend to be the last provider standing to process your checks. We are also preparing the next generation right now of employees to support item processing until the last check is written. So I appreciate everyone's time today. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe. And thank you, Sarah, for sharing your expertise today.
Thanks, Ryan.